is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Much love and many thanks to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. Happy Wednesday. It's been Wednesday, September 4th, all damn day. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, I hope you're well. I hope you're good. I hope you are safe. It is good to be back. He may not be here in Atlanta with me, but he's in New York City. Thank you so much to super producer and host Ryan Hickey. And thank you to you. Yeah, you listening, wherever the hell you might be, all over North America. This is when we get started. Every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. And it's been a long weekend. For me, it's been a long weekend. Forget the holiday. We've had a lot of football. We got more football coming. We got people in the WNBA hating each other. It is Wednesday, so I will share with you a top six list. You got to wait 2 hours for that. Because we are basically on the eve of the NFL season, of course, I'm going to share with you a top six list. We're going to take a look at the top six NFL teams for 2024. What teams have the best chances, the best odds, the best opportunity to go forth and hoist the Vince Lombardi Trophy come February? That top six list is coming your way 2 hours from now. To talk about the whole league and everything going on in the NFL, Matt Verderam is going to come through and join us in a little more than an hour. There's a lot of NFL news to get into as well outside of the top six NFL teams. Most certainly, we're going to talk about some of the games or the game that will launch us tomorrow with the Chiefs and the Ravens. We'll talk about the game going on Friday down in Sao Paulo, Brazil, between the Packers and the Eagles. We're going to talk about some of this wacky college football action that took place over the weekend. I mean, we had a full slate as week one was underway. The AP Top 25 came out. We got the U.S. Open going. Man, Hickey, there's so much going on. I've lost track.
There is so much going on, which is why it is good to have you back, JR.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'll tell you this much. I wish it was August. I'll go back to August right now.
I'm with you. Let's keep summer going for a little bit longer here.
Why not? It's life is all about balance. It's a little bit of a give. It's a little bit of a take. I would not mind the weather with football. You can't have it that way. You got to pick one or you got to pick the other. I know you're very excited over the football season. As I've been gone, what are some of the big stories you've been talking about?
Oh, a lot of college football. Mike Norvell in Florida State. Uh-oh. As we were talking about Dabo Sweeney, Mike Norvell swooped in Monday night and said, hold on, not so fast here. Let me take some of the steam away from Dabo or some of the criticism away. A lot of college football heavy, and that, and really, honestly, the only storyline it feels like for the NFL right now is Ja'Marr Chase and his future.
Oh, my goodness. He showed up to work today, huh?
That he did, but Ja'Marr, we saw him before do that, too.
Yeah, but I mean, as you get closer to the game on Sunday against the New England Patriots, you would think that suiting up and walking out onto the field today and practicing, and I like how it, what is this stupid thing they play at Paul Brown Stadium in Cincinnati? I like how the practice field is adjacent to the main stadium, so the players actually have to jog like across a sidewalk to get to the field because the Bengals are cheap. Well, what else is new? But Ja'Marr Chase, as Hickey said, he showed up to work today. And the funny thing is, we still have no idea whether or not Ja'Marr Chase is going to show up and play. You know, is he going to be on the receiving end of passes from Joe Burrow on Sunday? Or is this going to be the T. Higgins show? And we know T. Higgins, he wouldn't mind some receptions because he's playing on a franchise tag. Joe Burrow actually spoke today, and he says, the Bengals, we need Ja'Marr Chase if we want to be one of the best of the best of the best of the best.
Yeah, great to have him back. Great player. You know, a guy that we need to be our best.
Well, I mean, Joe Burrow making all the money. Maybe he should give him some. Joe Burrow making what? $55 million a year? 52? Does it matter at that point? We know Ja'Marr Chase is his buddy, LSU buddy. Justin Jefferson, he's making $35 a year. And Ja'Marr Chase is one of the best wide receivers in the game. I don't think he's Justin Jefferson. I think he might be right there, the top three with him and Tyreek Hill. Those are the three that I look at. But just I'm not saying take whatever they give you. I'm sure some type of way, whether it's guaranteed money or the length of the deal, he just wants to get one up on his buddy. The rumor last week is that he wants 1 cent more. I don't know about that. Sounds kind of bush league to me. I'll just take the deal. Joe Burrow continued on, and he said, after being asked about the Bengals' game plan, if he plays, if he doesn't play, what's the deal, Joe? Tell me.
Yeah, I would say that's true. You know, we'll see what ends up happening, but whatever happens, we're prepared for it.
Come on, man. Of course the game plan is going to be different. Hick, you like when media ask stupid questions?
You tell me if one of the best receivers in all the NFL is not on the field that you're going to change the way you call plays? I don't believe it.
Oh, wow. Real tough, right? Real tough one. I know. Look, we know the quarterback is the most important guy on the field, but I mean, Ja'Marr Chase on the offensive side of the ball, he's the second most important. Are you y'all gonna change things up? I mean, this is not a video game. This is real life. I think like anything in life, you want to utilize the tools that will best help you to succeed. You know, if I'm going to change a light bulb, I'm not going to take my ass up on the ladder and, you know, I don't know, take a hammer with me. That's counterintuitive. That doesn't make any sense. I'm not going to try to cut a cake with, I don't know, a spoon. Like you could. You're better off with a fork. How about a knife, but not a spoon? Of course they're going to change things up if Ja'Marr Chase isn't out there. This guy's been lighting it up since he was drafted in 2021. This man was the offensive rookie of the year just last year, even with Joe Burrow injured towards the end of the year. The man still hauled in 1,200 yards and grabbed 7 touchdowns. Ja'Marr Chase is a game breaker. And for a franchise and an organization like the Bengals, they don't typically pay anybody. They don't want to pay for Gatorade in the locker room. They want to charge you for water. They want to reuse the jock straps. This is what the Bengals do. I guess Ja'Marr Chase, yeah, man, squeeze every dime, dollar, and cent out of them. We saw him at practice today. We saw him at practice last week. And then he didn't practice. And then before that, he didn't practice. And he's in street clothes. And today he puts on his clothes. He's living the life. Why not? I'm going to try to show up tomorrow and say nothing and see how it works out for me. I'm not Ja'Marr Chase. And if Ja'Marr Chase is going to play on Sunday, Joe Burrow told everybody why he believes he will be ready.
I saw him out there today. You know, he looks fast, strong. Like he always does. You know, I know he's been doing what he needs to do to stay ready if he needs to be ready. So I'm confident that if he does go out there on Sunday, then he'll be the Ja'Marr we all know.
Yeah, there's a cliche here somewhere. I think it's something around if you stay ready, you don't have to be ready. If you're ready, you don't have to be ready. Bottom line is if you prepare, you'll be fine. Now, is this guy running his ass off and running routes and playing against crap defensive backs, you know, on some back road somewhere when the team isn't practicing? I have no idea. Because he's been at work. He just hasn't practiced. And one thing we do know about anything, if you go a little too hard, and shout outs to all the weekend warriors out there, people listening on the free Odyssey app, your local affiliate, SiriusXM 158 on a smart speaker, to all the weekend warriors who get involved in sports, thinking that they can relive their glory years. Yeah, you may not be a professional athlete. You might not be Ja'Marr Chase. But the fact is, if you start ramping up things a little too hard, you can get hurt. Right? This man's a wide receiver. What does he do? Damn, hey, he's running, switching gears, jumping, diving. Is he already at that level in that gear? Okay, the guy's not even older than 25 years old. Of course he's good. Me, I have to run. Not that I wanted to run. I had to run last week. I pulled my hand. Hickey, have you ever pulled a hamstring?
No, thankfully. You pulled a hamstring running?
Yeah, I had to sprint real fast. I had to go.
You still have a limp now?
No, I'm good. I'm good now.
Okay.
But let me tell you something. That was a first-time life experience. I said, oh, man, this is not cool. And, you know, it went away. The soreness went away. Well, it's not a good feeling to have that towards the back of your behind into your leg, and it's Hickey. I had the limp for like 3 days until it subsided. People were looking at me like, "What's wrong with you?" Like I thought you run. I thought you do this. I had to run. Oh, here you have it.
3 days is not bad though.
Look,
all things considered,
I'm at the point of I don't want nothing. I told you my back hurt, Hickey. Imagine this. Last week my back hurts, my hamstring hurts. It was not a pleasant week, I'll tell you that much. And so imagine Jamar Chase. No wonder these guys, these are machines. One of my hamstrings is Jamar Chase's how many equivalent? You think he's 3, 4?
Probably 4.
Yeah. Yeah, 4. Yeah, one of his is equal to 4 of mine. So imagine him, I don't know, straining his hamstring. He got to sit down for 3 weeks. And then if he pulls it again, then it's another 3 weeks. And so good luck to Jamar Chase, man. He's a good dude. His family are good people. Shout outs to all my people down in Louisiana. They're good people. Get all that money because the Bengals are cheap. I can't believe they decided to pay the wide receiver and the QB. Nobody else is getting money. Nobody. Ask T. Higgins. He'll be playing on another team next year. And good luck to the Bengals. It should be good if Joe Burrow is healthy enough to make it through a season without a knick-knack injury. Good for him. Nice to see Jamar Chase practicing again. I think he'll play on Sunday. And speaking of playing on Sunday, this came through over the weekend as well while I was gone. The San Francisco 49ers. They had a couple of guys who showed up to work. Brandon Ayuk is back at work, spoke to the media. Trent Williams back at work and spoke to the media. Brandon Ayuk admitted what we've been saying for months. He's utilizing the internet to manipulate his contract negotiations, saying ridiculous things. And I give him credit because Brandon Ayuk, he actually said, yeah, I had to make things difficult to get my money.
I'm not going to lie. I made it a little bit more difficult than it needed to at the end. But yeah, it was. I mean, it was like that from. I'm not gonna say the whole entire time, but for about the past month, I think we were pretty good.
Uh huh. Yeah, it's just annoying as hell. It's like reading some high school students' TikTok page every day, something to complain and whine about. Be a grown man about it next time. Say you want your money. Say this is why you want your money. Do better than putting up silly messages and posts about they don't want me and come get me. Do better. It's out of the high school crap. Things are real out here. High school nonsense from a grown man and his agent. Come on, do better. I mean, damn it. We one of his teammates, one of the wide receivers got shot on Saturday. Come on now. Ricky Pearsall got shot on Saturday, and they said he was back in the weight room yesterday. Like, sometimes we got to have a better perspective than some of this social media stuff. It can be fun. It can be cool. It can help you pass the time. It can be entertaining. Sometimes it can certainly be nauseating. Everything in life is always about balance. And, I mean, Trent Williams realized this over the weekend as well. We know he's been holding out from the 49ers all offseason. And Trent Williams is certainly about his business. When he was with the Washington Commanders, the Washington football team, the Washington team name that shall not be named, he held out. He didn't care. The man is 36 years old, still one of the best tackles in the game, is going straight into the Hall of Fame. They just had to restructure his contract, gave him 3 years, $82 million, so he would show up to work. And he said one of the reasons he showed up to work is because he realized, man, I had to be here. Not on no damn internet. Listen to what he had to say about the Ricky Pearsall situation and how it changed his perspective.
I've never experienced that, like, in my playing career, to have a teammate, you know, shot, so to speak. So in my mind, I'm like, man, I just want to get back, get around the team. Like, Ricky stood out to me because when I did, when I popped in for OTAs for 30 minutes, I was here. He did, like, go out of his way to come and introduce himself to me, in which I was, obviously, we was going to meet each other eventually. But, you know, I'm getting there. There's 90 guys on the team. I'm just walking out. I kind of don't really know everybody just yet. So for him to come up and kind of introduce, and I just instantly felt his vibe and, you know, can just feel he's such a genuine person. So soon as I seen that happen, I'm like, man, I just want to give back. I just want to be, you know, a voice in his ear, let him know everything's going to be all right. I'll be there for the team. You know, a lot of people probably hurt and confused about what happened and thinking, am I next, you know? So I wanted to be around for that.
Yeah, man. Sometimes it takes one incident, one thing to just snap you right back into place. Ricky Pearsall, man, that guy, we could have had a different story. Some things just work out in different ways, man. And good for him and his recovery. Good for the Niners for having their God back. And good for the Bengals. Ja'Marr Chase is practicing. That's good. Good for all of these guys. And then the Jets, Hickey, did Hassan Reddick show up to work?
He did not.
They play on Monday night?
Monday night.
Is he the only guy that's not at work in the NFL?
Now with Ja'Marr Chase back, he's the only man still holding out.
Hassan Reddick, man, the Jets are gonna jet. Oh, my God. This is what happened. Okay. Their spokesperson, the man who doesn't want to be the Jets spokesperson but is, talks every day, has to answer the same questions every day. If he wasn't already bald, he'd be pulling his hair out. I don't know if he's bearded right now, but he's going to pull his beard out next. The head coach of the Jets, Rob Saleh, had to answer a question yesterday about Hassan Reddick, who has not been at practice, training camp, mini camp, wants a new contract, demanded a trade. The game is on Monday. Is he going to play, Rob?
If and when he shows up, we'll put him through some work with the training staff, see where he's at, and then communicate with him on what we can figure out.
That doesn't sound like a man who is okay. Rob Saleh needs help. Rob Saleh. It's going to be a hell of a season, whether the Jets win and get into the playoffs or whether they crash and burn. It's going to be a rough season for Rob Saleh. Welcome to life with the New York Jets. Congratulations to everybody else that showed up to work. And all the best to Mr. Ricky Pearsall, who just got into the NFL, hasn't even played a game, you know, in his recovery. I can tell you this, it's good for me to be back at work. I got back to work before Hassan Reddick. It's not much of a shock or a surprise, but here I am. And here's where I'll be for about the next 4 hours. Of course, I told you, we got a top six list coming your way in about 2 hours. I'm going to share with you the top six NFL teams this upcoming season. We have Matt Verderam, who's going to join us next hour to talk about everything going on in the NFL. We'll talk about the latest with Caitlin Clark, her impact and status as future rookie of the year is becoming stronger and stronger by the day. But we are going to take a break. When we come back, Ricky Pearsall, he just left college. I have to laugh at some of the teams that have been a disaster so far. I think you might know who some of these teams might be. If you don't know, I'll tell you on the other side. It's good to be back, have football back, be back with Hickey, and be back with you. Don't move. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. If you want to holler at me, it's simple. The phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I'm back at work. It's good to be back. I told you about some star players in the NFL who've decided to show up for work, even if it's temporary. In the case of Ja'Marr Chase, we know Brandon Ayuk is back at work. Trent Williams is back at work. And college football is back as well. I, like you, sat around and watched a lot of college football all weekend long, starting from Thursday, rolling up into the weekend, into Sunday, waiting for the games to come up this week. We know the AP Top 25 rankings came out, and because some of the, because of some of the disasters that we've seen, the AP Top 25 rankings, they've already been changed up. We got a school like Florida State University, the Seminoles. All my folks down in Tallahassee, I love y'all. Beautiful out there. Beautiful in Tallahassee. The team sucks, though. Nothing beautiful about the team. They're terrible. The Seminoles got a record of 0-2 to start the season. It's one thing to go out to Ireland and be jet-lagged and have to eat the potatoes and, Hickey, what else are they doing? And Guinness and potatoes and water and milk. Am I missing anything?
Did you say Guinness?
I think I said Guinness or beer. More Guinness.
More Guinness.
Yeah, it's one thing to have that as an excuse. It's another thing when you come back to lose to Boston College. Come on. Like, ain't nobody expect that. DJ Uiagalelei was throwing the ball to everybody but to the person that he intended it to. And the way he was throwing the ball, I don't know who the hell he intended to throw it to. Maybe he's an op. Maybe he's throwing it to the opposition. I have no idea. I mean, you got the fans who are chanting for Brock, Glenn. We want Brock. We want Brock. This is a home crowd. DJ Uiagalelei, they might send him to another team before the season is even up. They got Memphis next week. And, I mean, their head coach right now, Mike Norvell, he ain't been doing nothing to saying, I'm sorry, my bad, we're going to work on it. It's the type of stuff that you might have heard from your ex-husband or your ex-wife or your ex or your children or your family or anybody that has disappointed you throughout any point in life. Listen to this man say, he failed his people.
It was sick to how the season started. Obviously tonight, I failed in preparing the team to be able to go out and respond tonight. And and just the things that were necessary for us, the things we talked about, things we emphasized. You know, obviously, in all phases, we're not able to execute.
Damn. He told everybody he failed. Means he's a failure. At least right now, he's a failure, okay? Start the season like this, yeah, you a failure. The team's a failure. Y'all are failing. And so what happens after you admit that you're a failure? Well, then you have to say sorry.
It's extremely disappointing. And, I apologize to our fans. Apologize to everybody associated with the program. I mean, that was extremely disappointing that we're not better.
Yeah. Nobody cares. People just want to see the results. And there aren't going to be no results. Not with them winning the ACC. That's one out the window. You know, anybody who had any type of hope in Clemson, I watched this game on Saturday afternoon. At least I tried. I saw the Georgia Bulldogs end up putting a smashing on Clemson. Dabo Sweeney still hasn't found out what the transfer portal is yet, huh? And so then you got another team who's emerged. Looks like they might be the quote-unquote bell of the ball this year when it comes down to the ACC. And this is a team that Hickey said, watch out for them, and Hickey was right. It's Miami. It's the Hurricanes. Because this is a team that to open up their season, they smashed the Gators. Hello to my friends in Gainesville. Smashed them. 41-17. Cam Ward was named the ACC quarterback of the week. He threw for 385 yards, 3 touchdowns. And Miami, they are the team to beat. I mean, they jumped up in the rankings. Forget Georgia Tech. They ranked number 23, haven't been ranked since 2015. Miami jumped from 19 to 12. It was a good thing. FSU goes down, and Georgia Tech and Miami, they rise up. This is what Cam Ward had to say about his performance. This is what he said on ESPN.
It was good. Both sides of the ball came with it. Shout out to the defense. They played good all day. I gave up a couple points. But it was a good team win. We came out prepared. I feel like this is the most prepared that I've been in my college career, and I'm just excited that we go 1-0.
Uh-oh. Little shot at Washington State there, huh? Little shot. Okay. Let's see what he does down in Miami. And good college. We had some good Hickey. This was a good college football weekend. We had some good storylines, man.
We did. It was a lot of fun. Some interesting games. Brian Kelly does what he does, really, at LSU now. Loses the opener.
Oh,
it was
crap.
Fun.
You like when he banged the table and the water popped up? You like that, didn't you?
We're talking about this again. Oh, I did. Man. That was funny.
Now, was that premeditated? Was he just, did he think of, he thought about that for like 25 seconds before he said, so what's going to really show people that I care is if I bang hard on the table. He thought about that, premeditated while he was sitting there, right?
You would think he would with the whole accent, you know, fiasco a few years ago. I think that was real. I think he truly was upset for the first time and just kind of let his emotions get the best of him.
Oh, man. Like, if you're going to do that, I want you to go all the way.
Like, throw the water bottle?
No, forget. I need you to slap the water bottle off the table. I need you to proceed to flip over the table and then storm off. Yeah. You got to flip that table over. You're going to bang on it. Come on.
Like, take it to another level beyond what the late, great Denny Green did with We Are Who We Thought They Were.
Yeah.
And slam the podium.
You need to. He needed to create one of those great coaching moments between Mara and playoffs. You know, we got that. We got Denny. They are we thought they. Yeah, we needed one of those. If you really want to inspire people, but then if you suck some more, people are gonna say, "Look at this joke over here." This guy flipped over a table couple weeks ago, and we still haven't won a football game. Like, come on. He can only do it once, so I guess maybe later this year. You know, now was the table slam. It's progress. Now's the table slam. Next time he'll slap the water clear off the table, and if he needs to, then he could flip the table over.
Good playbook.
But if he's flipping the table over, they're going to flip his ass up on a Baton Rouge. That's going to come sooner than later. So for his sake, hopefully he doesn't get there. Yeah, it sucks for the teams that ain't looking good. Not for LSU. Not for FSU. These state universities are not looking good right now. Congratulations to Tech, though. I don't know how long it's going to last. Congratulations to Miami. They look like their situation might last. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, I'm going to tell you about somebody else who is not going anywhere. And some of the hate, some of the vitriol, some of the negativity, that's not going anywhere as well. And so I think people need to get used to it. I'll tell you who I'm referring to on the other side of the break.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. At the top of the hour, we're going to get back into some NFL talk, get back to some more football. I needed to mention this because over the holidays and over the weekend and while I was gone yesterday, there's been a lot going on around Caitlin Clark. Yeah, what else is new? Except for the fact that she's having more and more success in people that were overly critical of her, like a Cheryl Swoops, that they're having to eat their words right now. This is a wild situation. Let me tell you something about Caitlin Clark. We know about how the season started for the Indiana Fever. A record of 1-8 that is destined basically to be in the toilet. I don't care what sport you're in. And you start 1-8, you start looking like the Chicago White Sox. Hickey, are they the Washington Generals of Major League Baseball? Did you see the three of them run into each other yesterday?
I did. Yeah. Is that not bad news, Bears meets MLB?
Oh, my God. The Savannah Bananas could not orchestrate more of a bleep show. Let me just put it that way. How? And one of the guys, I don't know, did you see? It looked like he broke his face. They said he was okay. One of the guys ended up on the floor in pain. It's one thing to just everybody look like a bunch of jackasses. It's another thing to actually have a guy get hurt in the process. They don't know who has priority over a fly ball. I mean, damn. Send them back to the minors. But what are they going to do? They got players nowhere. Pathetic and sad. My condolences to everybody who's a fan of the Chicago White Sox. Anyway, back to somebody that's actually winning. The Indiana Fever started the year at 1-8. They have a record right now of 17-16. This is the first time the Indiana Fever have been over 500 since 2019. It's 2024. They haven't been to the playoffs since 2016. And you want to know who's changed things around? The primary individual is Caitlin Clark. And since they've come back from that little Olympic break, She had a month off to chill out and reset. Hickey, listen to these numbers. I haven't heard these, and not that I'm sitting around saying, hey, man, I've been watching the WNBA, you know, hardcore for the past 20 years. When they started, I watched for the first five or six, and I think, like a lot of people, I fell off. But these numbers sound like NBA-type numbers. 25 points a game, 9 assists, 5 rebounds. She's averaging a steal. She's shooting 50% from the field overall. And she's shooting 38, 39% from three. If you told me an NBA guy had those numbers, I'd be like, this guy's an all-star. This is what she's doing out there. She's still a rookie.
It's incredible. It's truly incredible. I think part of it, like, I think you could definitely now look back and say part of her rough start was the fact that her legs were tired. I mean, you go right from going to the national title game, basically to get drafted in a training camp, season starts. They were, what was it, like, they played 11 games in like 18 days or something crazy like that. On national TV, she was beat up, she was tired. Now she had that break, reset, learn the, you know, the flow of the game. And she's better quicker than I thought she would be.
Oh, yeah. You know, I don't know how long it would take. I wouldn't be surprised if she was getting ass whooped all season and just turned it around. She's doing it in year one with little to no transition period. She had to utilize the first part of the season in the Olympic break to be a transition season. And now, you know, between her and Asia Wilson, I don't know who the hell they're talking about as best player in the game. It got to be between the two of them. A lot of people don't want to hear that. And so, I mean, we even got Cheryl Swoops. She's over here arguing and making enemies with Stephen A. Smith and the great Nancy Lieberman, getting into beefs and spats with them because of some of the words that she said earlier this year about Caitlin Clark. She just is really on the defense right now. And it's sad, man. It's as a result of some of these stupid podcasts. I think she was sitting down with Gilbert Arenas when they decided to say some real silly things. She ultimately apologized for part of it. And it's just, it's ridiculous. Even, look, earlier this year, a month ago, month and a half ago, I was saying just for argument and entertainment's sake, they should have a co-rookie of the year. You know, give it to Angel Reese. Give it to Caitlin Clark. But guess what? Angel Reese is making her double doubles. Okay, fine. People are paying attention to her shooting percentage. They're making fun of her. Even Dwight Howard is saying, oh, man, his shooting percentage sucks, making jokes on the court. Caitlin Clark has elevated her game to a new level. If she continues like this, there ain't no co-rookie of the year. Throw that idea out the damn window. You look at the record. Look at the playoff appearance. It'd be nice to see Angel Reese in the playoffs. It's really only her, Atlanta, or Chicago, Washington, and Atlanta. Those are the last teams battling for a playoff spot. And somebody else who's just kind of tired of the negativity that's been surrounding Caitlin Clark? Well, it's Charles Barkley. I guess he got a few things he needs to get off his chest. Contract stuff is kind of done and set. We don't know the status of the basketball side of things. We know he'll be on TNT for years. Charles Barkley was on the Ringer, and he says, and listen to the profanity, it's bleeped, of course, listen to the enthusiasm that this man says the league and the players screwed up her arrival.
These ladies, and I'm a WNBA fan, they cannot have this Caitlin Clark thing up any worse if they tried. People believe what we say on television. Just because people don't like you or your personality, they can't get on TV and slander you. It's just total bullshit. This girl is incredible. The number of attention, eyeballs, she's brought to college and the pros, and for these women to have this petty jealousness, you say to yourself, damn, what is going on here? And the thing I love about her, she never says a word. But these ladies who I love and respect their game, they couldn't have f***ed this thing up any worse. There's been so much negativity, and a lot of it is just petty jealousness.
It's true. It's just what it is. I mean, it's why they didn't put her on the Olympic team is because it would rock the boat for some of the players like Diana Taurasi. Oh, no. And, yeah, we got a good one in that final against France. Hickey, could you imagine if they pulled Caitlin Clark off the bench and she helped them win the game?
I think the internet would break and probably half the WNBA players would quit.
they'd run away and quit.
I'm done. All right, can't handle it anymore. See you later.
It signed me up. That would have been one hell of a story. I would have enjoyed that. But she should have been on the Olympic team. And she's earning her money. We know she got this contract with Nike, and what the rest of her career looks like is I don't know. I'm here for it. If she's doing this now, like, is this going to be a constant? Can we put in Caitlin Clark for 25 plus points? And what happens when she physically gets stronger, has a full off season to work? And I don't know. I'm just enjoying the ride. I would love to see Andrew Reese in there. I think it'd be cool to see them going against each other. America would love it. America would sit down and watch it. Because the reality is, Hickey, who else are people talking about like her? Nobody, right?
Nobody.
Yeah. Stinks. You know how many Liberty games I've seen? Well, you've seen more Liberty games than me.
I've seen one.
You've seen one. And who played in it?
Caitlin Clark.
You know how many WNBA games I've seen this year, Hickey?
Zero.
And I saw one.
Okay. Oh, that's right. You did go. That's right.
And you want to know who came here to Atlanta?
Caitlin Clark.
Yep.
The brunch, right? Isn't it in Atlanta that's doing the brunch?
No, D.C., I wish.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
I wish. Come on, man. You going to tell me I get to have mimosas and then go watch Caitlin Clark? Why not? It sounds like a good Sunday to me. They probably had that already, right? Is that the Mystics or is that the other bad basketball team? Wait. Uh-oh. I'm getting in trouble.
Uh-oh.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, you did say DC. That does sound right.
Do the Mystics still exist?
Oh,
I'm being honest, bruh. I'm telling the truth. They move some of these teams around. Some of them, I don't know. Are you sure?
Yes.
Look, I know at one point San Antonio had the Silver Stars. They don't exist. Come on. Houston had the Comets. I mean, Cheryl Swoops and Tina Thompson, and they were all killing it out there. Comets don't exist anymore. The Mystics are still in D.C. You sure?
Am I wrong?
I don't know. I'm looking. I'm looking right now, too.
I'm going to say yes.
Oh, yes. They played the Dallas Wings yesterday. 90-86. That's good. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think they have the brunch spot. I think that's them, the brunch.
Oh, I thought it was the Wizards that needed to sell brunch.
Well, they got to do that, too.
They could. Well, Wizards brunch, or is it, let's see. Nope, that would be the Mystics. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't know anybody who's signing up to go watch Jordan Poole play basketball, but they could certainly use an incentive there. Yeah, a brunch series done by the Washington Mystics. Okay. Yeah, right next door to the arena. Are they done? They had one in May, had one in June, July. Oh, sold out. September 15th versus Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Pre-game mimosa brunch, a ticket to the Mystics game. Okay, got to go next year to D.C. The brunch in D.C. is a thing. Congratulations to the Mystics for coming up with a great marketing gimmick that I will go to. And congratulations to Caitlin Clark. Certainly the most exciting, entertaining, and the person bringing all the attention in private planes and sponsorships and everything else, notoriety and television deals. And she helped bring all of this to the WNBA. And yes, there were women who came by and laid the groundwork and the path. She's the one. She's the final nail in the spoke that just allowed everything to go in there in turn and have success. Congratulations to her. Now, if she wins a WNBA championship this year, now, Hickey, them women, they really going to be mad.
Take cover. If they're upset now, oh, boy.
Do I expect a championship in year one? No, I don't. I'm hoping, you know, it's the New York Liberty. They've been around forever, have yet to win a championship. But outside of the Liberty winning, I'd like to see Caitlin Clark win. I just want to see people get mad and upset and angry for no damn reason. Because this girl is just out there playing basketball and busting ass. Give her a break and sign me up. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I hope Caitlin Clark, I hope she goes to the WNBA Finals. I know where the Eagles are going on Friday. I know where the Packers are going on Friday. And I actually know they left today to go to Brazil. The NFL is holding its first game in South America. And there's some people that are worried. And some of them sound like the players. Well, some of them are the players. And their families and the league and on and on and on and on. I'll tell you about the NFL's venture into Brazil on the other side of the break. It's the JR Sport Brief Show. Good to be back. The Infinity Sports Network.